Let's take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings 17 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll stand for the reading of God's Word, please. 1 Kings 17. I'm glad you're here tonight. I want to help the church family. That's my heart in it. And what I believe that God's laid on my heart tonight, I'm just burdened to help you. And I trust I can. I know we are living in difficult days. The Bible calls them perilous times. You know, with what's happening in the Middle East, now what's happening in Japan, and what's going on basically around the world, and then we're looking at an economic meltdown in our nation. We are living in difficult days. But we have a dynamic God. Amen. We have to believe that tonight. If we didn't believe that, then we ought to just, you know, just kind of quit it all and go out and do whatever we need to do and get ready to die. But I happen to believe that God's so much bigger than the events that are going on around us. And God has already told us of these things. We come to 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah is a great and mighty prophet of the Old Testament. And we're going to profile an event in his life. Notice what it says. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, by the way, that's West Virginian for go get it. I pray thee a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She says, the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of the prophet, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Thank you, and you may be seated. Here's a man of God living right in the center of God's will. He is doing exactly what God wants him to do. Exactly. Oh, he was far from perfect, because none of us are perfect. We know that. But here was a man that was committed, sold out, surrendered. All the words you want to use. Lock, stock, and barrel, God had Elijah. And God had given Elijah a rather unusual command. He said, I want you to go and tell the king, It's not going to rain unless you tell it. And when you tell it to stop raining, it's going to stop raining for 3.5 years, and that's exactly what he did. Now, you have to understand, to be that bold to walk in and tell the king that could be a certain death for you. There's no doubt about it. Ahab was not a friendly king to God's people. He hated the people of God. He hated the God of Israel. He had married Jezebel, who was certainly some babe in the area. It was a lady that was a Baal worshiper. Her father was the prince of Baal. She was the leader. Her father was the leader of Baal worship. And so the Bible says that Elijah's to go right into the throat of the leaders of Baal worship and tell them what God said and what God's going to do. And sure enough, what he said, God did. But while he was there, or afterwards when he was finished, Elijah was told, I want you to go hide out in the brook Cherith, which is near Jordan. So he went there to hide. He had to, because if he didn't, certainly what was going to take place was that he was going to probably be killed before he even got there. So God protected him and got him over to the brook Cherith. In the process of time, as the water began to dry up all over Israel, began to dry up in the brook Cherith too, and soon Elijah had no water either. And what happens is that we are reminded of the fact when judgment and punishment comes, it falls on the just and on the unjust. And sometimes when there's a drought in the land, even God's people have to suffer. And here it was that Elijah, the Bible says that the main source and his supply of provision is now cut off. What is he going to do? You know, sometimes it seems as though our provision is cut off for a time. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's a benefit. Maybe it's something along the way. But can I assure you of this? God's going to take care of his people. And so when the brook dried up, what was he to do? Well, he could have done like a lot of Christians do. He could have just gotten mad at God and said, I served you. Look what you did to me. I don't care anymore. I'm going back and I'm going to do my own thing. Could have done that. He could have turned his back on God completely. Could have ran away and just kind of hid out. Stop going to church. He could have just stopped serving God altogether. He could have just gotten bitter at God and everybody around him. He could have done that. You see, he was comfortable at Cherith. Gotten used to it. Wasn't much effort. Ravens brought in the food to him. He ordered food in. Maybe it was sushi. I don't know. He brought it right in the morning and in the evening. He had water right there. That's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you think? I don't know what to say about the raven, because the raven were scavenger birds, but God sent special made food for him. He was comfortable there, and God had dried it up. Have you ever noticed sometimes God puts us in an uncomfortable situation when we walk in the center of his will? There are times that happens. You have to realize that you get in your comfort zone. We all do. I have kind of a comfort zone, and so do you, and we like that. And sometimes we can look and say, you know, I hope it never changes. The life does change. Things do go a different direction than what we would expect, and that's where Elijah was. Now the brooks are all dried up, and what was Elijah to do? Well, that's what I want to ask you tonight. What are you going to do when your brooks dry up? What are you going to do? You see, again, the temptation is to run and hide. The temptation is to get mad. The temptation is to get angry at God. And the temptation is to give up. The temptation is to blame God. That's the temptation. That wasn't what Elijah did. When your resources dry up, I mean, if you're told tomorrow your job is over, If you're told that somehow or another that you know, you have to retire, you need to retire, and you're not ready. Or maybe something worse that you're told. How do you respond? I want to give you three responses. What did he do? Well, Elijah tonight, we must understand Elijah did the right thing. Now, he didn't always do the right thing. We learn later that Elijah really messed up, but we know that he did the right thing at this point in his life. The very first thing I want you to notice, his response is clear in the scriptures. In verses 8 and 9 of this passage, the Bible said he obeyed the will of God. He obeyed God's will. The song that we sing often here in our church, we like it. It's called Trust and Obey. Don't you like that song? Trust and obey, for there's what? No other way. To be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We're to trust and obey. I'm going to be honest with you. Those are two difficult things. It seems simple, but it's difficult, isn't it? Trust is not easy. And then obedience comes after that. But here was a man that no matter what happened, you see, here's how we like to obey. When it's going well, it's easy to obey, isn't it? I mean, when everything is just flowing right, and you know, we're talking about coming to a banquet on Friday night, and we just got a 10% pay reduction, and we've got this, we've got that. I mean, you know, we're looking at all of this. You know, I don't even know how I'm going to get the money to get the ticket to go. Look, don't let that hinder you. We want you to go. But as we look at it, we just wonder, how in the world is this all going to take place? Because I'm going to tell you something, this economic mess we're in is affecting everybody in this room. Us, you, all of us were being affected. In one way or another, we all are being affected. But our response should always be to obey God's will no matter what. Just decide. Just determine. Now, God's will is that, number one, that everybody know Christ is Savior. Amen? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tomorrow night's our last community outreach night for this session. We'll take a few weeks and then we'll crank it back up again. And I pray that this next time will be a great time, because we'll have a lot more light. We'll be able to get out and do a lot more on the streets than we've been able to do in the darkness. Although I'm really thankful for those who go out, even in the darkness, and knock doors. But obeying God's will means that we realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross. And the man can't be saved by being a good person, or by being baptized, or by being a church member. He's saved by putting his faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. But then we're to walk in the center of his will. Every day, I get up and I want to do God's will. I want to obey God's will. Elijah got up, and when the brook dried up, he just kept on obeying God no matter what. He didn't let his circumstances dictate whether he obeyed God or not. He obeyed God in spite of the circumstance, just like Shabbat's body did. If you were to ask him, Shabbat, are you glad to be born in Pakistan? He would have told you, no, I would not have been glad. It wasn't my choice. So this is where God put me, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God here. And he paid the price. Was it convenient? No. Was it safe? No. Was it right? Yes. You see, what Elijah had learned and knew and understood was that he was to listen to God's word. Tonight, we must understand that obedience means that we listen to God's word. Amen. Whatever God tells us, whatever God wants us to do, he's going to tell us through his word, and we are to listen to it. Paul says it like this, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. For many people, God's will is fine, during convenient times, when the difficulties come, don't ask me to do anything more. Elijah refused to let the circumstances stop him from doing what God's will is for his life. You see, he did not allow the circumstances to deafen his ears to the truth of God's word. He listened. Both ears he had surrendered to God. Tonight, we need to have both ears surrendered to God. Amen. Both our ears need to listen to God and be in tune with God's word. You know, it's very possible that God could be speaking and we're not listening. I wonder how many times it's true with us. You know, God's speaking to us. He's trying to get our attention, but we're not listening. We know it happens often. Sometimes I get preoccupied with my own thing, and my wife's trying to get my attention, and she'll say, Rick. And it's like I only heard her. Finally, it's kind of like I get preoccupied with my world. But there's another world besides my world. Amen. Get in tune with God. Listen to what God has to say. And Elijah was in tune with God. And the Bible said that he listened to God's word. But secondly, he obeyed God's word. He applied God's word. Elijah did as God had told him. It wasn't enough just to hear it, but he did what God had told him to do. He applied the truth. He stayed right in the center of God's will. And he persistently obeyed God no matter what. You see, when we obey what God says, now it turns on the obligation of God to do something for us based on his promises. Are you with me? Can I say it one more time? When you obey God, it turns on God's obligation to do what he says in his promises for us. That's the way it is. And God says here that Elijah, he says, I want you to obey me. And that's what Elijah did. The brook dried up. He had no resources. He had no place to go. He couldn't go back to Israel because he knew if he would have went back, he was going to die. He had no... You're talking about an impossibility. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and the rocks are pretty dry. That's where he was. But he still obeyed God's will. His response number two is that he not only obeyed God's will, but accepted God's provision. Now, this is a strange thing that takes place. God had expected him to obey his will and to stay with God no matter how difficult it is. But then God began to send him to another place. Sometimes God does that. I don't think it's as often as we think it is. I think sometimes people get the idea there. You know, there are people who are like church hoppers. They go from one church to another. I don't know what they're looking for, but they keep hopping around. Sometimes I think we just need to be where God wants us to stay in that place and quit moving around. You know, if you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it. Looking for a perfect pastor, he's not around. You're looking for the perfect job, there is none. They're all work. They all have their great times and difficult times. Stop bouncing around. Stay where God places you. But now it's time for Elijah to move. And I know there are times when that happens. But God's provision comes. And the best way to describe God's provision is with one word. It's called unlikely. Because in this story, we find that God's going to provide for Elijah, unlike anything you've ever read before. It is. It's amazing. Letter A, it's an unlikely source. God's sending him down to Zarephath. And Zarephath is called like a kind of a refining town. And he was sent there, and it's 100 miles or so from where he was at Cherith to go down to this refinery place. That's where he was sent, and we'll look at that in a moment, but What is interesting is that God had a widow woman there who God had already spoken to. And this widow woman had a child to look after. That's the deal. That's an unlikely source. I mean, God had already told her that he had a plan for her. And by the way, let me tell you this. Aren't you excited to know that there are some people that you may not know, but God's already spoken to them about providing and helping you in your situation? It's always exciting for me. And by the way, I'm thankful to God there are some obedient Christians that are willing to listen to the voice of God and trust God by faith. You see, Elijah learned a lot of faith. I mean, he was there by the brook Cherith, and the brooks had dried up, and here he was now. He'd prayed with God. I don't know what all took place while he was there at Cherith, but I knew though he saw the ravens come in the morning and ravens come in at night to feed him. He had water there. He saw that. That was all of God. He was right in the place where God wanted him. And now God had a place down here in Zarephath with an unlikely source that he was about to do a miraculous thing for him. Who would have ever thought that? And he went to an unlikely place called Zarephath. Now, what's so unlikely about it was the headquarters for Baal. I mean, it's right at the headquarters. If Baal was the man who was the father of Jezebel. Remember, he was the prince. He was in charge. And what God had told him to do is, look, I want you to leave your place of security, your sources, your supply. I want you to leave all of that, and I want you to go to Zarephath, and I want you to go right in the middle of the most dangerous place you could possibly go. That's where I want you to go. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Elijah, I would say, you got a gun? Got some bodyguards? What? You're going to send me there? They're going to kill me. Unlikely place. Why don't you do it here, God? I mean, I kind of like this brook. I'm getting to know the rocks here in the brook. I've carved my initials on some of the rocks. Why can't I stay here? God said, no, I want you to go down there. Lord, you're asking me a pretty amazing, dramatic thing. That's where you want me to go, Lord, and you want me to go down in the middle of all that? Yes. But he accepted that. He was going to accept God's provision. Unlikely source, an unlikely place. A place you would never think of. Now think about it. He was hungry, and now he's famished, and he had to travel 100 miles. And remember now, at this point, more than likely, Elijah was traveling by foot. To travel 100 miles by foot is a long way. I mean, I've heard of people running marathons of 25 miles, but I always think of that. There's something wrong with people that do that. Amen? I thought that's what we have vehicles for. But it was an unlikely situation. We read about it. Here was a widow, and she was there. We don't know her name. It's not told to us. But here was this widow woman, and the Bible said that she was out gathering some sticks for her last meal. That was it. She had resigned to a certain death. She knew that. She thought that this was going to be it, that there was no way that she was going to be able to do any more. Her life was totally selfless, though. Elijah said, I want you to go and I want you to make me a meal first. And God told me to tell you that. That took a lot of trust, a lot of faith. I'm not sure that she knew Elijah, but she did know that God had told her something. God had already prepared her heart. I don't know if it's because of what she'd been through. I don't know if it's because of her stand with God. I don't really know all of it. But God had prepared her heart, the Bible said, and, And so what God had done is he'd sent this Elijah the prophet down, and that prophet was about to hear or see this woman do some amazing things. The biblical illustrator says famine brings out selfishness in hideous shapes. But she certainly wasn't selfish. She was selfless. She was willing to do what God wanted her to do, and she wasn't thinking about herself and how she could further herself. And though she recognized the fact that this might be the end, and if she makes a meal for her and her son, they're going to die. That's all she knew. We're reading the story after the fact. She's living in real time. And so God had told her that he wanted her to do something, and Elijah had to learn to accept God's provision. And let me tell you what the deal is. It was humbling for the mighty prophet to go and accept provision from an unlikely source. It's humbling. How can you do that? That's who God had prepared. You see, tonight you might be praying, you know, I'd like to be able to do something for the banquet. I'd like to be able to do something for God. I'd like to be able to give something to God, and I want to do something, and I don't know where I'm going to get it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Hey, accept God's provision. Maybe God will provide it to an unlikely source. You never know. Maybe God will provide it in some way that you least expect it. Maybe it'll come from an unlikely place. It could be an unlikely situation. You just never really know. I mean, could it be that it could happen that way? I got to tell you a story. Years ago when we started our church in Woodland, California, strange thing happened. We were there and we were working the ministry and just trying to reach people, and we were meeting in a senior center, and you know, we'd have to go in and set up every week and so on and so forth, and we're just trying to grow the ministry. Now, this was many years ago. Trying to grow the ministry. We just want to see it grow. And we're praying and begging God and doing things, and some church donated to us a bus. And I like it when it's donated. It was a red bus. Wasn't one of the great big ones. It was, I think, one of those 36 passenger, whatever it is. I don't know. You know, kind of not the great big long ones, but a little bigger than the 24. And so they donated the bus to us. Their church didn't want it anymore. And you know, when they donate a bus, you always wonder, am I even going to be able to drive it over there? It came from Sacramento. We got it. We cleaned it all up, painted it. Man, the church came out. All of us, we got around. We cleaned it, we painted it, we hand wrote West Valley Baptist Church on the bus, and we were so excited to have the bus. Our first asset. We didn't know anything else. We had a bus, and we started knocking doors. And we knocked doors, and I remember, you know, we just go out, man, we just knock doors, and we go out after school, we knock doors, and we try to get kids to ride the bus, and we look for parents and families, and God got into that bus ministry. It was amazing what God did. One Sunday morning, we pick up some bus kids, and they came to our church, and they were so excited when they left, and they said, next week we're going to get Mom and Dad to come. And sure enough, the next week, Mom and Dad came. And that was so exciting to me. Mom and Dad came, and they came for about 2 weeks. Then they came the third week. Of course, we're trying to visit them, and they lived out in a place called Knight's Landing. They kind of lived out from us, and we're trying to coordinate with them and their work schedules, and we couldn't make it work, but we tried, and they came the third week. And on the third week, they sat down. I remember we're in a storefront. And we moved from this place to a storefront. Orange carpet, ugly orange carpet. It was a storefront. We kind of fixed it up a little bit. We just kind of took what we can and we made it work. And we were in the storefront, I remember. And they sat down about where the Magnos are sitting. I remember about that distance in the church. They, you know, that was the back end of the church. Of course, you know, visitors kind of make their way in the back, and so they were in the back. And I remember they sat there. And this is week number three. And I gave the invitation. I preached the gospel and gave the invitation and told them about Jesus loves them and Jesus died on the cross for him. The only way to go to heaven is by trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. And man, I would love for you to come and trust Christ. And that entire family walked the aisle and trusted Christ that day. I was so excited. Man, I'm telling you, I was excited. I still am when that happens. The next week, I got a phone call. And this guy called me up and he says, "Is this Pastor Stone Street?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, and he began to tell me about how that, he said, do you know that this is the only church, this only independent fundamental Baptist church in the Woodland area?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I know that. I understand that. That's why I started it." And he began to ask me several questions about what we believed it on. He said, and he gave me his name. I don't remember his name. And he said, "Well, I just want to let you know who I am." I said, "My son and daughter-in-law came and the kids came last week and they walked out and got saved. And I just want to make sure they're in the right kind of church." And I said, "I appreciate that. What church do you go to?" And he didn't go to the right kind of church. And he began to ask me about our soul winning and about what we believed about the Bible. And he began to ask me about all the different things. And then he said this. Now listen to me carefully. Here's what he said. He said, "Well, you have a bus ministry. You believe in soul winning. You believe in the King James Bible. You believe in preaching the gospel. You believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ, the deity of blood atonement. All those things." He says, "You are right on where you should be." I said, "Well, come over and help us." And he said, "Well, 15 years ago, there was a church in town just like your church. And I was a member of that church." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know." I said, he said, no. It's you didn't know." He said, "The church folded up 15 years ago." And he said, we had a building fund. And we can find another independent fundamental Baptist church to give this building money to. We didn't know what to do with it. And I know that I had to leave it. And so I was the treasurer and I just kept it in an interest-bearing account." And he said, "Now that you're here in town," he said, "and you're what you are," he said, "I want to give that money to help you with your building fund to start your, so you can get a building." Now that was in 1988. Or 1989. I think it was 1989. I'll never forget. Here comes the family. They came in and sat in the back, same spot. You know how people, once they find their spots, kind of like that's it, you know. It's their Brook Cherith, okay? And they came in and there sure enough was Dad. The offering plate comes around and he drops the check in. I don't remember, but I think it was somewhere like $9,000 or $10,000. Well, good night. We've never seen anything like that in our life. We started our building fund. That was an unlikely source. Who would have ever thought that God would send it in that way? Do you realize that was the beginning? That's why that church is up there today, because of that right there. That was of God. Obviously, we didn't build a building and buy land and all that for $10,000, but I want to tell you, God did an amazing thing. We accepted God's provision. There's a third one. Let me give you the third one. I must be done. We exalted God's honor. He exalted God's honor, and we should as well. He believed God's promises. Elijah points her to the Lord and his word that God had sent him down there. That's what he said. She had to make a choice to believe in God's promises. And I'll tell you something, at this point it didn't make any sense to her, but she did it anyway. I mean, Elijah said, "Feed me first." Now, that may seem selfish, but what he was saying is basically, give to God first and God will take care of the rest. Elijah didn't have this verse But this verse teaches that very thing where it says in Luke chapter 6, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You see, she believed in God's promises, and she did what God wanted her to do. You know, I want to tell you this tonight. You can believe God's promises. You can trust Him. If you call on the Lord, He'll save you. You give, He'll provide for you. You seek His will, He will be found, the Bible says. We can trust, second of all, God's principles. I'm going to give them to you very quickly. Here's some principles and I'm done. God must supply the food. Do you realize Elijah knew that God had to supply the food, and because of that, he knew that he could believe God. God supplied the food. He had to be mindful that God would supply it. And again, unusual situation. Remember, a raven is a blackbird. What blackbirds eat? They're scavengers. But God had to do some miraculous thing here, send in this food. And he didn't bring in roadkill. He brought in good stuff. Filet mignon. Alaskan salmon. He flew it right in. What a blessing. God must supply the power. The power to see God do some great things. And in this passage, we see that God did great things. In fact, the truth of the matter is that if you're reading the account, this woman, the Bible says, no doubt about it, that she went, she did not go without. God supplied their need once they believed God. He never asks us to give what He does not already supply for us. That's the third principle. God never asks you to give anything you can't. God's never asked me to do something I can't. He's never asked me to leap tall buildings in a single bound or stop a moving freight train. But He has asked me to do what I can do with His power. He'll never ask you to do anything you can't do. And then one more thought and I'll be done. God can use everyone. It's exciting for me as I heard about how these bus kids, they collected this bank to give to the bank with the parking lot. That's exciting to me. How much was it again? $116.97. How many agree with me? That's a tremendous gift. That's great. Brother Kephart, how many in your class, his class, he challenged them with a penny? Every penny they found on the ground to bring it in. And they brought pennies that they found on the ground. And how long? 3 weeks. And they brought in $31. God can use everybody. Why don't you start looking for some pennies between now and Friday night? Maybe God will put a little bit more on the ground than just that. I've been looking for some of that on the ground, you know. I like the green stuff, though. Well, so what do we do? When the brooks dry up, what do? Do we quit? Stop the parking lot? Close the church down? No, we just keep obeying God's will. We just keep obeying God's will. We accept God's provision, and we're going to exalt God's honor. Because I'm going to tell you something. The reason why that God dries up the brooks is so He can get the honor. That's where He is. If you've never been saved tonight, you can be saved. You can trust Christ as Savior. And if you know Christ tonight, I want you to know that we want to exalt Him and give Him all the honor. Friday night is honoring God night. While the rest of the world may be partying on Friday night, we're going to be partying for God. We want to honor Him. And so I pray tonight that if you're here, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're like, man, I don't know what to do. Why don't you just get into God's will? Accept whatever God's provision is. And maybe it's not what you want, but it's what God provides. And that's all listen to God's word. Listen to it. And then exalt his honor. When we do that, we've done what we can. By the way, church, all we can do is what we can do, right? But we serve a mighty God. Stop listening to the news and start listening to the good news. And let God make all the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'll please help us tonight. Lord, I